So historically, we always think of Cain as the bad guy. Cain's always the bad guy. And Hevel's the good guy. Cain's the murderer, first homicide. Hevel's the victim. It's not so simple. I mean, Cain did some very bad stuff. First of all, let's point out, as we did yesterday, that Cain is the first one who came up with the idea of an offering to Hashem. It was his idea. It wasn't Hevel's idea. Hevel stole his idea. That's called infringement. In fact, I think Sham Shmuel Feuerhirsch once said, he said, where's Yesher? It's not fair. What do you want to tell a child opens a chumash, and what does he hear? The bad guy commits murder and lives seven generations, and the good guy is dead. Like, it's such a bad message. He says, Hevel wasn't such a good guy. Hevel was a ganav. He stole his idea. And what did he do? He made a new and better version. That's like the biggest shtech. Like, take somebody else's idea and improve it. Anyway, this be that as made, he's not a addition, and I don't know if that's an absolute concept. But when the Torah tells us about details, both of Cain and Hevel, we have to know that there's a lesson for us. Sometimes we learn what not to do, and sometimes on the contrary. Sometimes we're being taught how we should follow a path of righteousness. I think yesterday was surprising for everybody to find out that Cain had holy motives. In fact, he was a big mystic, a big makubal. It's a very deep idea of Kabbalistic oneness and so on and so forth, which is technically wrong, but theoretically wonderful. So today we're going to re-examine Cain's punishment, and let's revisit this. Maybe Cain is actually a role model for righteousness. So that's radical. Cain is a role model for righteousness. Okay, so chapter 4, verse 13, Cain says to God, he says, Godol aveni ben soy, you're telling me you can't stomach, you can't countenance my sin? Rashi says, Godol aveni, this you should read, b'tmiya, exclamation mark, question mark, like in amazement. Is my sin so great? Atatoyin, elyoinim, v'tachtoinim, you can countenance the supernal creatures, earthly creatures, and it's only v'avoyni efshalitin, like, that's the one thing you can't stand? By the worst guy around? It's not a very contrite thing to say. It doesn't sound very nice, but that's what Cain says. And Cain is worried about self-preservation. He says, Hein ayim gerashti esi ayim apnei adama, you've banished me from the face of earth. Mipenocha asaser, from your face, I'm going to hide. Yisi nov and nod, I'm going to be a nomad in a constant state of movement. I'll never have any peace. V'hoya chol moitzi yahargeni, whoever will find me is going to kill me.
Why does he think that?
Yeah.
Just because he's a nomad, everybody wants to kill him.
So first of all, he thought that the future members of the human race would want to take revenge on him.
What do they even know? He's a nomad.
But there's another interpretation. And that is that the animals would no longer see him as human. There's a certain fear of animals for humans.
The animals would attack.
But when he behaved in an animalistic fashion, he would lose that ability.
Literacy.
And therefore, yeah, so the Medrash tells us he figured he's finished. So what does Hashem tell Cain? Hashem doesn't ignore him. He says, Kol hoyde Cain shivasayim yukam. Whoever's going to kill Cain, Hashem's going to exact vengeance from him. And it says that Hashem put a sign. Vayasam Hashem leKain ois, put a sign. Lebilti hakris oisi. People shouldn't be able to strike at him. It says he put a sign of his name. Rashi says chokok le ois mishmoi b'mitzchei. Hashem engraved or emblazoned a letter of Hashem's name. Understand there's a euphemism. And Rashi talks there about the animals. So all the animals would be afraid of me up until now. But Yasam Hashem L'Kayin Eis, Rashi says, it's like he's restored his humanity to him. So in a perfect world, were we to be perfectly righteous, we would have nothing to fear from wild animals. And that's how we understand Daniel goes into the lion's den. The lions don't bother him. Why? Because he looked perfectly human. But we behave like animals. When you behave like an animal, then to the animal you look like an animal. And there are many stories of tzaddikim that animals came close to them, ran away, whether you look in the scripture, the story of Elisha, where the animals used to scurry away before him, or various other amazing stories of Rishonim and Achronim, tzaddikim who were put into situations in which their lives would be in danger because of wild animals, and they were protected. All right, this is the story. Cain is not totally, God doesn't push him away entirely. He acknowledges his fears. He actually takes care of him. Mm-hmm. He gives him a sign.
Protection.
What happens next? This is what I want to focus on today. Vayetze Cain lifnei Hashem. Cain goes out from before Hashem. Vayeshev be'eretz noid kidmas Eden. He goes away from where he is, and he moves into this place called Kidmas Eden. So there's a fascinating Medrash Rabbah, and the Medrash Rabbah says Vayetze Cain that he left joyously because Hashem accepted his tshuva.
What tshuva?
There's some kind of tshuva going on here. He acknowledges. He wants to know, is my sin too big?
That's tshuva.
When you don't have a role model for tshuva, you're the first one, yeah. The Medrash says over there that Adam Rishon learned from Cain the power of tshuva. The Medrash says, Poga by Adam Rishon. Adam Rishon encountered him. Amalei, how'd you do? Manasa bedincha. What happened with your court case? Amalei, so Cain said to his father, Asisi tshuva. I did tshuva. And it's pasharti. And I got a compromise. Got a hung jury. My sentence has been stayed. Hischal Adam Rishon mitapech upon of. Adam Rishon began to slap his face. And he said, Kachi keicha shel tshuva. Wow, this is unbelievable. This is the power of tshuva. Ani le yisiyadeh. I didn't realize. Because Adam never does a word of tshuva. Adam never even admits he did a sin. Hashem comes to him, he says,
it's woman.
Anything going on? No, nothing going on. We're just naked. Really? Who told you naked? Oh, it's not me. It's the woman gave me the fruit. Goes to Chava. It's not me, it's the snake. Nobody ever acknowledged. The beginning of an Aveda is when you acknowledge you did something wrong. Cain calls it a sin. He doesn't say, me. In the beginning, he plays that game. Hashem erachi anarchi. He doesn't say, my brother enraged me. He doesn't say, my brother stole from me. He doesn't say he did something to make me very angry. He realizes that he sinned. He realizes he sinned. Hashem speaks very sharp words to him. And Cain says, my sin is too great. My sin is too great. And am I finished? Is it? So this is, I guess, like this is some kind of tshuva.
Some kind.
So Cain goes out mofnei Hashem. That's what the Medrash says. Now, in this idea of going away before Hashem, Vayetze Cain, Rashi says, it doesn't mean that he went anywhere. He didn't go anywhere, because afterwards it says Vayeshev. So Vayetze and Vayeshev. Vayeshev would mean he returned somewhere. It says first Vayetze. Where did he go out of? So Rashi says the word Vayetze does not mean literally that he traveled a certain physical space. Rather, what does Vayetze mean? Vayetze Kain, says Rashi, Yotze Bachno, that he left the presence of Hashem with a sense of deep remorse, deep shame, deep humility. That means Vayetze. He didn't stand with the same, said, I did something wrong. You put me in a situation. We don't hear this by Adam and Chava. Yotzebach, no. Kegoinev dasa al yoyna. Here Rashi doesn't sound so nice, doesn't sound so good for him, as if somebody who's trying to conceal his thoughts from Hashem, or as if, I think it's like more like as if he got his hand caught in the cookie jar. Mm-hmm. He tried to say, I don't know, my brother's keeper. Hashem says, really? My brother's keeper? So he's caught red-handed. Now, usually, when you're caught red-handed, there's some kind of regret. Doesn't mean he regrets doing what he did, but...
Regrets getting caught.
They tell a famous story, the turn of the century, in the Slabodka Yeshiva, unfortunately. They were learning very well, but there's no Yiras Hashemayim. And there was Bachram didn't keep Shabbos. So one of the Yeshivas came once into a dormitory room and he found a bunch of Bachram, three Bachram, playing cards and smoking on Shabbos. He flew into a rage. And one Bachram said, I forgot. He said, what do you forget? He said, I forgot it was Shabbos. And the other Yeshiva student said, I forgot. What did you forget? I forgot you're not allowed to smoke on Shabbos. And the third one said, I forgot. So what did you forget? I said, I forgot to lock the door.
Roll down the blind.
You forgot.
They're all remorseful.
Yeah, the question is about what? But there seems to be an element of remorse. Kayan is not, he doesn't have this Teflon coating or his eye, I didn't do anything wrong. It's your fault, you put me in a situation. Sure. He comes with some kind of remorse.
He admits he did wrong, but the remorse really doesn't come out when he tells God, what is my sin? You can't handle my sin.
He doesn't exactly say Al-Chet. He doesn't say Ashamnu, true. But he does. He acknowledges he did a sin.
And maybe that's why it wasn't totally forgiven. He's only suspended for 7 generations. The sentence. Maybe.
But the fact is, he lived a very long life.
I'm saying, partial truth.
The Radak says, Yotzamim Klim Kabol Sashkinavanavur. He the Radak learns at Rashi that he left being before Hashem, but it's not a physical journey. He says he was in a state where he could before have received prophecy. Hashem speaks to him. Hashem does speak to him. He brings a carbon. Hashem doesn't accept his carbon, but he speaks to him about the carbon. And he tells him about sin. Sin always crouch at your doorstep. You'll have to avoid it. He talks to him about this. There's a dialogue going on. So he was in a makam of Nevuah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that point, kind of, Kayan left. He left that area. He no longer had this special privilege. But the Chizkuni says something fascinating. He says, Kibbal Alav Gzar Dinai. He didn't ignore what he did wrong. He accepted upon himself with humility what Hashem had meted out for him. He said, this is my punishment. I deserve it. And he left as such. So he's not as bad as everybody thinks. Kayan exhibits some kind of remorse, some kind of contriteness. Where does he go? He goes bad, it's Noid. What's the land of Noid? So the Rashi says, Ba'eretz shekol ha-goylim nodin sham. All those who exile themselves go there. It's kind of a funny Rashi. What does it mean? All exiles. There's no other people yet.
Yeah,
so Rashi says, Kidmas Eden, east of Eden, Sham Gala Aviv. That's where Adam Arisha went. Kishe Goyrish Migan Eden, when he was chased out of Gan Eden, Shanemar, Vayashkein Mikedem Ligan Eden. He went east of Gan Eden, the Goyman. Lishmer Es Shmiras Derech Mavoy Hagan. So there's a guard, so to speak, at the door, and he's east of that. Sheyesh Lilmeid, Shahaya Adam Sham. We can learn that that's where Adam stayed. Umatzinu, and we find Ruach Mizrachis Keiletes Bechol Makim Mesareitzchem. We find that whenever somebody is in a bad situation and needs to seek protection, head east. Where do we see this? We see this that when it came to separating cities of refuge for which the would-be murderer or accidental murderer would have to go into exile, it says, Oz Yavdil Moshe, then Moshe designated, Mizracha Shamesh, in the easterly direction. So even though we have the areas of the other side of the Jordan is already in the east side, already the eastern banks, nonetheless, there's an emphasis on the eastern side. So there's something about east, and when you get into trouble, head east. Rashi says, why is it called Eretz Noid? It should be called Ruach Noid. And therefore, because it says Eretz Noid, so Rashi says that there's something about the land itself. Kol makim shahaya haylech, haysa ha'aretz misdaza'as. Wherever Kayan would go, the earth would tremble beneath him. V'habriyes, and the creatures, which is presumably animals at this time. There was no real people yet. The animals had a method of communication with each other. Oimrim, they would indicate to each other, "Suru mi alav, go away from this person." They found him loathsome. Shazel shaharigis achiv. He's the guy who killed his brother. So he was not exactly Tarzan. The animal is not friendly with him. They were like removing themselves from him. Wanted to push him away. So he lived a very lonely existence. And that was Cain's exile. And that teaches us about the idea of exile. How did he repent? He went into exile. Adam Rishon also went easterly direction. Okay, so we have this business with easterly direction, and that's where he went. Now, the problem with this is the next verse is talking about him getting married. He marries his twin sister. He's having children. Verse 17, Vayeda Kainas Ishte. He gets married. He's intimate with his wife, Vatar. She becomes pregnant. Vatel Deschanoch has a son. He calls him education. Vayhi Boina here. Then he goes into the development business. He's building a city. He works for a city. Vayikir Shem here. Kashem B'nei Chanoch. He calls the name of the city Chanoch. So how do we understand this? Did he go into Eretz Noid or was he somewhere else? So the Radak says he went into this exilic reality and then he came back afterwards. So he was under a self-imposed exile, not permanently. For a time he was in exile. And Radak says then he came back to civilization and then he got married, then he had a child, then he built a family and he built a city. Ramban says he didn't go into exile once. Cain was a loner. He would come home, he'd spend time with his family, and he would go into exile again. He would walk alone because he never was able to overcome the guilt of what he did. He didn't move on. He didn't just simply go, you know, have a happily ever after kind of existence. He was constantly re-exiling himself. And the Vilna Gaon says something really fascinating. He says, what's east of Mesopotamia? We have to guess Gan Eden is around Mesopotamia. The earliest relics of civilization are give or take about 5,500-6,000 years old, which is exactly when it's supposed to be, right? We believe the world's 5,770 years old. At least that's where the narrative creation picks up from. And all of the archaeology lines up perfectly with that. There is no archaeology, no human artifacts found that are older than 5,500 years old. Mesopotamia is where the oldest artifacts are found. What's east of Mesopotamia? First of all, where's Mesopotamia?
Iraq.
Yeah. Iraq, central, southern Iraq. What's east of that?
East of Iraq?
It's Yisrael. So the Vilna Gaon says...
West of Iraq.
Yisrael would be west of Iraq, you're right.
It's like Southeast Asia.
I don't know how he works it out, but that's what he says. He says, this is Eretz Yisrael. So why is it called Eretz Noid, the land of movement? He said, because the Jewish people are always being exiled from Eretz Yisrael. But even though we're always exiled from Eretz Yisrael, we always remain tethered to Eretz Yisrael. It's called Eretz Noid because of that. It's like a temporary land. It's ours, but we're always in a state, in the exilic state. Vilna Gaon says twice, he emphasizes that Kidmas Eden means he refers to Eretz Yisrael. I'm not sure how he works out the east and west a bit, but it's like what he says.
In the time of the Shlomo, didn't it extend to the Euphrates?
It did. Eretz Yisrael did extend to the Euphrates River.
It was all the way up there. Maybe
yeah, yeah.
Eden is
yeah.
here, and it's still, all of that was his.
That could be. Rashi does tell us in the beginning that the river Pras, which is the Euphrates River, is the border of Eretz Yisrael. So, don't think of the sliver of Israel that we have today. Think of broad biblical Israel in its full context. So what does he do? He builds a city. He builds a city. And this city was going to call Chanoch. That was the name of the city.
The city for who?
For future generations. Vayhi boina, vayhi kain boina ir, vayhi kashemo ir Chanoch. Rashi says, "Lezecher b'nei Chanoch." He wanted Chanoch to have a memorial. The Torah tells us immediately about the next generations. Vayivolod l'Chanoch as Irod. Chanoch gave birth to Irod, and Irod yod as Michu Yoel. Michu Yoel yod Misu Shoel, and Misu Shoel yolad as Lamech. So here's something really interesting. The name Michu Yoel has Hashem's name in it. And the name Misu Shoel has Hashem's name, isn't it? So our sages tell us that Michu Yoel is a conjunction of Machu Il, a racing god. erased from God. And Misushael means from the terminology of thrown or torn away from God. In other words, that I've once explained that this man, this Cain fellow, he tried to bring up a righteous generation. He called his son education. He wanted to give him an education. He wanted to make him into a mensch. But he failed in the end. What happened? His grandson already called himself cut off, erased from God, ripped away from God. So Cain was not really successful. He did not create a righteous generation after.
Wasn't that idol worship already? They were calling.
At this point, the idol worship's already starting. And the next reading is all about Lamech and a society that's totally rotten. And fascinatingly, in the next reading, which you're not going to be able to get to today, but in the next reading, we hear about a society that's rotten and what makes the society rotten? The objectification of women. That's the first sign of a rotten society. That's Western civilization.
The two wives, one for childbearing, one for fun.
Right? So basically, a woman was objectified. That's a, she was a toy for a man to abuse. And that's the beginning of a rotten society. That's where the society unravels from. But let's focus on what he was trying to do. He wanted to build a city. It's Ramban who says that he was going back into exile constantly, and then he would come back to his family, and then go back into exile. What does this mean? So Ramban says he built a little, and he would disappear. He was like a loner, like a crazy man. You know, he didn't live a peaceful existence. Then he came back, and he'd build a little more, and then he'd leave again, and he never really found satisfaction in what he did. He always had a miserable existence. He could never find happiness, even though he built a family, built a city. The Kliyakar says that his problem was he put all his emphasis into material building. He built a city, wanted to educate his son, but he wanted to build a city. It was all about the material reality. And the Kliyakar says a person who only focuses on material possession and material development is never going to be happy. But he says, Yeshle Mana has 100, Reitzim Asayim has 200. A person whose value system is only money, possessions, and material realities is never going to find any happiness. And he says Cain was a perfect example of that. Why did he build a city? Radak says he wanted to live. He wanted to live with other people. He didn't like this nomadic, loner existence. He wanted to live. And he wanted to create cohesion for future generations. He was the opposite of cohesion. He killed his own brother. He wanted to create cohesion now, that people should learn how to get along, people should live together. The Malbim goes ahead and says he wanted to fix his sin. He wanted to make a society that was just. He wanted to make a society that would amalgamate, a society in which people would help one another. This is the original idea of urbanization. He wanted to create a municipality. And municipality is based on law and order. It's not the Wild West, the Wild East in this case. And that's why he called the city Chanoich. He was hoping that Chanoich would continue his vision. He would continue to build and develop society. He wanted to build a healthy reality. Ramban emphasizes he didn't build it for himself. This was not about himself. He had a sense of destiny. He had a sense of future. He wanted to build a better future.
How often was he kept away?
Ramban doesn't tell us, and I don't know if he knew.
Because he didn't bring up his son.
Maybe that was his problem. Maybe he was so riddled with guilt that he wasn't dealing with his son enough. Maybe. I don't know. The Rebbe takes all of this and sews it together in the most marvelous way. Page Kuf Aleph. The presumption here, the Rebbe's presumption, the Rebbe's approach is so illuminating. It's a story with Cain who does a sin. That's a lesson for us. Cain who does some kind of tshuva. Maybe there's a lesson there for us. What's the lesson that Cain got married and built a city? Who cares? Where's the Torah element? It's just human history. Here's the first municipality. Here's the first time society was created. L'mayinaf kemina. What difference does it make? But where's the hayrah? Where is the lesson from the story? So the Rebbe says there's an enormous lesson that's being portrayed to us. Sipur Zeh, this story, Babahemshech, Le Sipur Oides Hachuva, Sha'asa Kayan. The story of Kayan building a city is the next page. It comes after the episode of Kayan's doing tshuva, which we already established that Kayan did some kind of tshuva. And he's the world's first Baal tshuva then. He had no precedent. So you can't really say, huh, that's tshuva. Who did he have to learn from? His parents? His parents never even acknowledged anything wrong. For all we know, all they did is talk about the supper table. He blamed her, and she blamed the snake. We don't know. They never acknowledged it did anything wrong. That was the biggest problem. He blamed God. He said, you gave me a woman. She said, you made me a snake. So Kayan does do tshuva. And what does this story come? It comes behem shech l'sipre this tshuva shasa Kayan. Ukadivir chazal, like the Medrash Rabbah that we mentioned earlier. Vayetze Kayan l'fnei Hashem. The Medrash Rabbah says, yotza sameach. Rashi doesn't say this. Medrash Rabbah says he left happy. Why did he leave happy? He left happy because he had the sense that Hashem had accepted his tshuva. Why did he have that sense? Because his verdict was stayed. Here Hashem says there's no room for you in this world, and now he's going to live for seven generations.
Sure, protects him.
Uba ha-teira la-hesef. He says, this is unbelievable. The teira comes now to add. It's not enough for you to know that Kayan experienced remorse and regret and resolve. Mikayan efshir lilmeid, from Kayan we can learn, leirak es etzem inyan hatshuva. From Kayan, not only do we learn the idea that there is something called tshuva, we didn't know there's something called tshuva before, now we know there's something called tshuva. Not only do we know there's something called tshuva, elagames eifen asiyas hatshuva. Kayan is the role model, he's teaching us how you do tshuva. Kayan is a role model? How is he a role? He's teaching us how to do tshuva? Yes. Why? Kayan lo yistapik b'charoto bilvad. Kayan didn't just have regret. As most people, when they do something wrong, they live with regrets. They have sense of remorse. And they feel good about that. At least they have a conscience. At least I'm not happy about what I did. It wasn't just enough. Kabbalas einish hagalos. He accepted upon himself this punishment. And like Ramban says, it was like a self-inflicted punishment. He kept exiling himself. Hashem said, you have to exile. Kept exiling. Kept pushing himself out of the way. Didn't allow himself to live a normal life. He was like tortured himself. That's not good enough. What else did Kayan do? Ela asa pa'ula. He did something. And what was the purpose of his doing something? Letaken es achesaren shenigram al yedei chetei. He wanted to fix what he broke. What did he break? He brought about strife. He brought about murder. He brought about mayhem. He brought about people being pulled apart. Brothers being pulled apart in the most heinous, most egregious way. So now he wants to fix it. First of all, what did he do? After extinguishing one life, what did he try to do right away? Hoylid nefesh acheres. He wanted to bring new life into this world. And that's kedei lechaper al nefesh she'ibed. He felt terrible. He was the cause of a life being snuffed out. He wanted to be the one to cause now a life to be brought in. It wasn't enough for him to one life, a life gone, a life replaced. He tried to build, develop, establish. What he did is an act of murder, is the greatest act of destruction that destroys everything. So he destroyed the world, now he tried to build the world. So the next thing we know, how does the trajectory of the pasuk follow? Vayetze Kayan, he went out and he accepts upon himself. First of all, he does tshuva. Vayetze says the medrash vayatze besimcha. So that vayetze means does tshuva. What's the next word? Vayeshev eretz noid. He imposes a self-imposed exile. So he does tshuva. He has remorse and he expresses this idea. And then what's the next thing he does? Vayede Kayan ishtei. He goes ahead. He gets married. He tries to bring a child into the world. What's the next thing? By Hibainair, he builds a city. And what does he want to do with the city? What does he name the city? Chanoich. What does Chanoich mean? To teach. He wants to teach generations, learn from my mistakes. Don't do what I did. Build a better world. And he calls that name of the city. And he tries to inspire his son that his son should also live a life like that. As we learned, that Ramban says he was hoping that his son would continue what he started. He would continue building this, that his son would build afterwards.
How did it teach? I mean, it was a natural thing.
Because the whole idea of municipality and city dwelling and urbanization is that we need each other.
Social contract.
The basic essence of a social contract. That's what he wanted to show, how people could live together. L'lamedcha, what does this teach you? Shabasiyas tshuva, when it comes to doing tshuva, and this is such a powerful lesson, my friends, when it comes to doing tshuva, a person has to know, ein dai ba'akara sachet ve'kabolas ha'enesh. It's not enough to cut yourself off the sin. It's not even enough to accept upon yourself your punishment and say, I deserve this. El alachete lifel tikun ha'mu'uvis shenigrim al de'achet. The person who did something bad now has to
do something good.
Obloshen hakli yakar, in the language of the kli yakar, lases eze mitzvah hafchis, do an opposite, a counterweight. Al havar al haveda shasa. You did a sin, you caused injury and destruction to society. Now the counterweight of that is to build and develop society. That people could not get along to the point that they killed each other. Now that people get along to the point that they will be, in a sense, subservient to each other. That's what this was all about. Ki bazeh, says the Kli Yakar, yitukan avasai. And that's where the Malbim picks up. The Malbim picks up in the Kli Yakar and develops that idea. He says, ratzel otaker cheter. So the Rebbe builds on this Medrash and the Ramban and the Kli Yakar and the Malbim, which takes us to a certain place which explains, reframes the Kayan narrative. And the Rebbe says there's the greatest role model though. He's the greatest lesson for tshuva. That a Yid has to know, a person has to know. Kayan wasn't Jewish. A person has to know that you do something bad, you have to do something good. If you cause injury, you have to bring about wholesomeness. It's not a perfect example, but this I once heard that the fellow who started the Nobel Prize, Alfred Nobel, which was supposed to be a good thing, not supposed to be giving in peace prizes to mass murderers. It was supposed to be a good to encourage human achievement. That he, I never checked this out, that he created dynamite.
That's where he made his fortune.
And he figured, this is how I'm going to be known. So I created mass destruction. Nobody killed in such a mass way. So in order to make up for what he did, he said, let me take that fortune I made and dedicate it towards the building of civilization. If this indeed is true, that makes sense. Somebody to learn from that. That's exactly what Kayan showed us. So in summation, Kayan is not only a bad guy, he did a very bad thing, but Kayan is also a role model of righteousness, or at least one of repentance and the restoration of spirit. That's something.
It's like every human being. We have two sides. He recognized both sides.